Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Toastmasters for Presentation Skills, Part 1. Here we go. This podcast answers these questions. What is Toastmasters? Because a lot of people don't know. And why do Manager Tools and Career Tools recommend Toastmasters? I'll tell you why. Because they're great. That's why.
In celebration of Manager Tools' 15th anniversary, we've added multiple promotional benefits to our annual license. Things like the interviewing series, resume workbook, effective relationships, and first job fundamentals come free as part of an annual Manager Tools personal license. Until, that is, June 26th. June 26th will be our 16th anniversary. And if you become a licensee before that date, you'll receive all of the added promotional benefits. After that day, if you become a licensee, you'll get our license, which I got to admit, it ain't that bad by itself, but it's a lot better with the added benefits. So visit our website, manager-tools.com, and consider becoming a licensee today.
Okay. As you all probably would have guessed, I'm joined by Wendy Lord, who wrote this podcast. And I asked to be on it. I'm not on Career Tools very often anymore, but I love Toastmasters. And I think our plan here, Wendy, is to answer a series of questions, right?
Exactly. We try to think of the questions that people have about what it is and what happens.
Because people
and who's
don't
there
understand.
And,
people don't understand. They think they're going to be asked to speak the first day, and it's really, you know, it's grueling and all this sort of stuff, and it just couldn't be. Yeah, it couldn't be further from the truth. Look, guys, in 2011, we released a cast called Coaching Presenting Skills with Toastmasters. And what was interesting about that is we were suggesting, I think I may have said this, you can basically outsource the coaching of presenting skills to having your direct going to Toastmasters. Now, what I mean by that is Toastmasters will take care of your direct becoming a competent presenter. You still need to coach them and figure out what the goal is, and they need to actually make a presentation to prove to everybody else that they've mastered whatever types of presentation you have in mind for them. But as Wendy and I both discovered independently on our own, that Toastmasters is probably the best quasi-professional organization we've ever been associated with. We don't recommend external sources because we have opinions. We're knowledgeable about management, about careers, and about executive life. And the vast majority of guidance out there, I'm not suggesting there isn't good stuff. The vast majority of guidance out there is horrible. It's terrible. About the only ones, Wendy, if you can think of others off the top of your head, I'd love to hear them. The two that I think of, I guess there's three. The two that come to my mind are Toastmasters and also a Center for Creative Leadership, which generally is relegated to executive stuff. Their work is uniformly outstanding. And then the third one I was going to say is PMI, the Project Management Institute. It's not, in my opinion, to the level of Toastmasters of CCL, but it's very good.
The only other thing I was thinking of was the Wall Street Journal, which is not, like merit
resource,
recommendation.
If you go, you know, if you abstract up a level, the definition of, you know, resources, then the journal would be in there. And then you'd say, well, but then what about books? And now we could go forever. All right. So what questions are we going to answer for everybody?
So we're going to talk about why we recommend Toastmasters, what happens at a Toastmasters meeting, do you have to speak right away? Who else will be there? How long till I see a benefit? Do you have to pay? And how do I get more information?
I think this is good. It's simple stuff. And we probably have answered these in a sentence or two spread out over the last 15 years, but we want to put it all in one place. Guys, we have no problem at any time saying we fully support what Toastmasters does. We recommend it unreservedly. And we just don't say that often. So, Wendy, why do we recommend it?
Well, we recommend it for two reasons. First, presenting. If you want to go somewhere in your career, learning to present, to be able to stand up in front of 300 people and be coherent and not have that like sinking feeling and not stutter over your words and feel like you can answer questions about whatever it is you are presenting and be persuasive, that you can't go anywhere without that skill. And yeah. Toastmasters is really good at teaching you those skills.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, okay, that's one, right? About it's about presenting and they're good at it. Mm-hmm. What else?
And then the other thing is, it's a really cheap and efficient way to learn those skills. There's clubs all over the world. There's hundreds in big cities.
In every city, yeah.
And the fees are small in comparison to a lot of the other things that you could pay for in order to learn to be a presenter. I think I can't, it's at the end, but it's about $120 a year, which if you were going to get a presentation coach, that's probably an hour.
Yeah.
Whereas that's a whole year of Toastmasters.
That's a pretty bad presentation coach at $120 an hour.
Yeah. And the focus of every meeting is being a better presenter. Like that's all that, it's not yeah. all that they do, but that's the focus. That's why everybody is there. That's what everybody is thinking about for the hour or hour and a half or 2 hours that you're there.
Yeah. In my mind, look, you can't call yourself a professional with 5 years of experience and certainly not with 10 years of experience and not be a presenter. You have to be able to present. Now, oh, of course, people say, oh, it's one of the most greatest fears that people have. You know what, guys? We don't care. Okay. It's part of organizational life. If you're going to tell us, I refuse to present. You might not say this, but if I were in a bad mood, I'd say, okay, you stay captive to your fears. But you're saying I'm asserting my personal discomfort with doing that over the need for the organization to have a technique by which you share with us your thinking, your work, your background, your ideas, your recommendations on a particular topic, which we would expect you to be good at. You telling us I won't present is inefficient, enormously so. Like, okay, somebody else has to present. You know, you have to tell somebody else what your work is. No, I prefer to send everybody an email. No. We don't have time to read the email all on our own time. We want to come together in one place. We need to make a decision in a week. You're the person who knows this system. You're going to have to give a presentation. And look, it's okay that you're not naturally born with this skill or school didn't teach you. Okay? I mean, seriously, that's okay. What is not okay, and what I think is more prevalent now here in, you know, 2020, you know, whenever this comes out, 2021, is this idea that an individual's fears can be a rationale for not doing their job. And, I don't want to do that. The beauty of organizations is they allow us to massively magnify our effort. If then every person in the company says, I'm only going to do the stuff I'm comfortable doing, all that magnification goes away. And we quickly, if we don't have large human organizations, we go back to an agrarian society very, very quickly, which is not good for our learning and development and growth as a species. So you have to do it. It's part of a job, unless you want to stay at the lowest level and never truly give all of your gifts to the world, which I would argue is a tragedy. And not only that, in the modern organization, the informality of it is such that more and more people are expected to present at all levels. You could be an individual contributor and be presenting 2 or 3 levels higher. Believe me, guys, 30 years ago, that didn't happen. If you were an individual contributor and you were presenting to your boss and he or she was then taking it to somebody else. Actually, 30 years ago, much more likely it was just a he. So it's a skill you've got to master. We understand how many of you feel about it. And remember, guys, how you feel is okay. It is. What's not okay is saying, I'm going to let my feeling about this skill that is required as a function of human organizations to say, I won't do part of my job. And so therefore, you know, people need a way to get there. And I can assure you, Toastmasters is the way.
Yeah. If you're scared of speaking or aren't any good at it, and you go to Toastmasters for 6 months and you don't improve, I will give you the money back from my bank account, because I believe you can't go for 6 months without getting better.
Wendy means that, and she also knows that that she's saying it on my podcast. Actually, Career Tools is yours, but it's all mine after a fashion. And so she knows I would not allow that to happen. So Manager Tools would give your money back. But you have to go. I mean, you do.
You have to go and do the program, but you know.
Yeah. So, but you also mentioned about the organization. Tell me about the organization.
Do you mean Toastmasters International, the big?
Yeah, I mean.
How it's made up? Okay, so. Yeah. So
You told me at the start, I said, why do we recommend Toastmasters? And you said, the learning, and the other one is about the organization. So I just thought I'd ask about the organization.
Yeah, so the organization is, I can't remember how many it is now. I think it's 250,000 clubs in the world.
It's just so cool.
Yeah, everywhere. And there literally are hundreds. There's the biggest employer in San Antonio is the USAA. They have 6 different Toastmasters clubs in USAA.
Yeah, one in each building.
One in each building. It's mental. There's bound to be one within 50 miles of where you are. And right now they're all meeting on Zoom, and people are joining from all over the place. It's so cool.
I was talking
to someone who's in the San Antonio club, and they have someone from Canada, someone from the Bahamas, and someone from California who have joined their club because they can go on Zoom.
But why that club?
Because they have friends who are members of those clubs.
I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's the one thing that Zoom and COVID has done for us, is it really broadened who can be in any one club. It's neat.
Wow. That's really, really cool. Yeah, it's really efficient and cheap. And you said 50 miles away. I don't think that's fair. I think 5 miles away. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're in a city of more than 100,000 people, there's a Toastmasters club. If you're in a city of 500,000, there's 50 of them. If you're in a city of 1 million, there's 1,000 of them. I think I was presenting in Toronto about 10 years ago, and I mentioned Toastmasters. I said, really, is Toastmasters all good? I said, yeah, and it's easy to get to. And they said, really? Where are they here in town? I said, let's do a number. You guys guess, how many are there? And I think we determined there were 2,000 clubs.
Yeah.
In Toronto alone.
Yeah. And if there isn't a club, you can start one. And
yeah.
And people will, if you call Toastmasters to say, I'd like to start a Toastmasters club, people will arrive on your doorstep to help
and
you do that.
To help you. The organization, the quasi-professional organization will do it. Yeah. And if it takes you, here's what I love about it. If I'm struggling with presenting, maybe I had a bad experience, maybe I'm not confident in my vocabulary, maybe I, under pressure, stutter a little bit. If it takes you 2 years, dudes, there's no problem with that at Toastmasters. The goal is for you to improve. Other people, it might take 3 months, and they realize the mistake they've been making, and somebody points it out, and they get it, and they go, and they're good to go. Great. But you're not being graded against some curve, and people go, you know, go clucking away from your presentation, say, boy, he isn't any good.
No. They give you feedback, and it's positive,
Let's actually talk about your experience, because what happened with Wendy and I was that I told Wendy in her job she was going to have to present. Now, she hasn't had to exceptionally a lot. I think you've presented a couple of times, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But I said, I can't have somebody this close to me not be able to present for half an hour, an hour, to fill in for me or to do something. I need a Career Tools presentation given in this situation to a client or to an individual or to a group or something like that. And I don't have the ability to do all of the presenting we are asked to do. And so I agreed I'd coach her on presenting. And I said, this is easy. We're doing Toastmasters. And you didn't like it, as I recall, you didn't like the idea, because when I suggested it, because you had some of these questions and these fears in mm-hmm. this podcast.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, you're quite a competent presenter. I, I promise you folks, Wendy will say, oh, I'm terrible. I'm not that good, because she's comparing herself to Kate and Sarah and I.
Yeah.
And what was amazing was Wendy thought that I would coach her on presenting skills, because I've written speeches for governors and presidents and have coached governors and senators and ambassadors and CEOs on public speaking. And I, you know, I guess the biggest crowd I ever spoke to was 16 or 17,000. So I'm reasonably competent at it. But the whole point of our coaching model, and I'll just put a plug in for it here, is you're not supposed to be the trainer when you're the coach. And I wasn't going to be Wendy's trainer, because I needed to be on the road generating revenue and creating new clients for our company, which was more valuable than the time. The value of my time with them was more than if I'd have spent it with Wendy. And so I need a different resource, and we went with Toastmasters. And that was, how long ago was that, Wendy?
It has 7 years. More,
7 years ago. And Wendy, you are still associated with Toastmasters, are you not?
Yeah, I'm
are
hardcore.
You a regional person?
I'm a division director this year.
Division director.
And I'm president of my club, which
you, oh no, you did not tell me that before.
It's not a big deal. But it is a big deal in the sense of...
Time out. Do you know, president is a big deal. General manager is a big deal. There's somebody who the responsibility rests on. You and I both know that. You're being faux humble there. Somebody ultimately has to wear the crown. And heavy is the head that wears the crown, right? I mean, it's not a royalty position. It's nothing but duty. But still, somebody has to take the duty of being responsible for the club, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And here's the difference for me. I remember being in presentations with you, and there were 20 people in the room, and you would ask me a question, and every word would fly out of my head, and my stomach would turn over, and I would say something stupid, which made it worse, because it was hard for you to like catch up after that, after I said something stupid. Whereas 2 Saturdays ago, I ran training for 150 people and didn't blink. Didn't bother me. I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing. And if the technology goes down, or if somebody says something that's all right, I can deal with it.
Yeah.
And that's what Toastmasters did for me.
Really cool.
If you live in Silicon Valley, and you've been wanting to meet Mark, and you've not yet attended the Effective Hiring Manager, Effective Manager, and or Effective Communicator, here's your chance. March 23rd through 25th, Mark will be in Cupertino presenting all 3 of those session days. Register on our website, manager-tools.com/training, to join Mark and a small group of attendees for an amazing training experience.
All right. So, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff that Toastmasters will help you with, folks, by the way. Having to review someone's performance, there's a feeling like that's a form of a presentation to one of your directs. Leading a meeting, you're going to end up presenting in small bits and pieces. It'll help there. Delivering training, you can't deliver training if you can't present, right? And so even if it's on Zoom, all of those things incorporate something around presenting, and Toastmasters helps with all of that, okay? All right, good. So we got to get behind the curtain here, right?
Yes.
What happens at a meeting, at a Toastmasters meeting?
So the structure of every meeting, of every club, wherever you go, is always the same.
That's so good.
Yeah. So you always have an introduction.
Is anybody a member like in San Antonio when we're doing face-to-face, and then they're on business in Omaha and they go to an Omaha club? Do they ever do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Rotary Club, which is a service club here in the United States, they do that. You could go to any Rotary meeting, and you're actually supposed to. Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that happens a lot. So the structure is always the same. There's an introductory part, there is the speaking portion, and then there's the evaluations. So the beginning, the president always opens.
Wait, I thought you said this is great. There are evaluations?
There are evaluations.
Oh my, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable.
No, but they're fun and kind and tailored to your level. And
yeah, good. Right. Okay, good. Fine. All right, so sorry, three things. So introduction, speaking, and evaluations every time. By the way, okay, what happens, but how long? How long is a meeting?
Between 1 hour and 2 hours, depending on where you are. Corporate clubs that happen at lunchtime are often like 57 minutes so that people can just do it in their lunch hour. Yeah. There are advanced clubs, which maybe take 2 or 3 hours because they do much longer speeches, but most of them are about an hour and a half.
Okay, fair enough. Good. And would you say generally they are logistically, you know, at lunchtime? Does that tend to be the case?
No. I mean, corporate clubs are often at lunchtime or at breakfast time, so before the workday starts. Yeah. Community clubs, which are ones that are not in companies, they can be anytime. I've been to meetings at 6 in the morning and I've been to meetings at 3 in the afternoon on a Sunday. So
yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. So what we're saying, folks, this is me leading Wendy to help people understand. You can't tell me you don't have time. You can't tell me there's not one that fits your schedule because there's a billion of them. Mm-hmm. And one of them will fit your schedule, particularly in the Zoom world. Holy exactly. moly.
Yeah. You got a choice of a million.
Okay, good. All right. So how does it start?
So the president bangs a gavel and there's a Toastmasters thing. You're only allowed to bang it once.
And let me ask you, I got to ask you, this is a meeting. Is Toastmasters going to impress me because they bang the gavel right on time?
They do when I'm running the meeting, yes.
But not always, is what
Not always, but in general, one of the things that is evaluated is, did you start on time? So when we get to the end of the meeting and we evaluate the meeting, one of the things is, did we start on time? So, yes.
Hot wash in the meeting. I love it. Okay, keep going.
So the president welcomes everybody. There's often a kind of inspiring thought or something positive to get everybody in the mood. In the US, there's sometimes a prayer and usually the Pledge of Allegiance. And then the president hands over to the Toastmaster of the day, and it's that person's job to run the rest of the meeting.
It's like he delegates the running of his meeting to one of his directs.
Exactly. It's so good. You don't have to have an officer role in order to learn to run a meeting, because if you've been a Toastmaster for 3 months, somebody will make you Toastmaster of the day and you'll be running that meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next part is the speaking portion. So Toastmasters, you don't just make speeches sort of at random. Toastmasters has an education program called Pathways, and each person chooses a path. There's 11 to choose from.
Wow.
And you are required to make speeches in a certain way or about a certain subject.
Okay.
And it's a deliberate increase in skills as you go through it. There's 5 levels and you start with really easy things, and then you get to more difficult or more specific things as you go through. So the first speech that anybody gives is called the icebreaker. It's 4 to 6 minutes, which is short for a Toastmasters speech. They're normally 5 to 7. And it's about you.
That's still long. I still think 4 to 6 minutes. Based on my experience, I know what I know, but I spend a lot of time thinking about what other people know, what other people feel about what they know and how they're doing in their careers. And I think 4 to 6 minutes for some people would be a little daunting. Oh, yeah.
I've seen people not get to 4 minutes. And
yeah,
you know,
sure.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's your first attempt. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's not you fail if you don't reach 4 minutes. You learned that the impression you had that you were going to be talking with this thing, the speech you wrote or prepared, was 4 to 6, and it was only 3. And there's a lesson for you. And next time you'll be a little closer to 4.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's the icebreaker is about you. So you can talk about your family, your education, your work, anything that you want to. And the idea is that it's a really easy topic because we all know something about ourselves.
Subject matter experts sitting right here.
Yeah. So you get a really nice, easy speech and you always get lots of positive feedback. And then as you go through the program.
They use our feedback model?
They use our feedback model? No. Well, I guess they sort of do because you know you're going to get it. It's not in the model.
Okay. So if it's not in the model,
they
don't use our feedback model. No. But how might I, if I gave feedback, if I gave a talk and you were going to give me feedback, I wouldn't call it that, but, you know, guidance, suggestions.
Evaluation.
What might it sound? How might it sound?
Oh, Mark, I really enjoyed your speech. I thought you had great eye contact, and I love that you smiled. That always makes the audience feel warm towards you.
Yes.
I love that you included your family. It's obviously very important to you.
Stop, Stop. Good. That's good. I just wanted to hear just in general. Okay. Good.
Uh-huh. There you go.
All right. Good. What's an example of a long speech assignment in Pathways? You mentioned that Pathways is this education program.
Yeah. So, for example, on level 5, you might have to do a 10.
Wait. Time out. Go back. You haven't identified. How many levels are there?
There are 5 levels to each path. I'm sorry. Okay. So, good. When you get to the end, yeah. There's
By the way, folks, Wendy's a high D. She at times, needs help with communication, and I give it to her. Sometimes in the form of feedback, actually. Okay, so 5 levels. So this is the highest level somebody might progress to.
Yeah.
How long might they have to talk?
15 to 20 minutes.
Now, see, I think that's gettable. I thought you might say 45 minutes, and I wanted people to hear that because, you know, 45 minutes, how long would that take me? Well, in Wendy's case, it's been 7 years, and she's still there.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, by the time you've done 30 speeches, 15 to 20 minutes doesn't seem scary.
Yes. And this is from somebody who, can we say it was a pretty deep-seated significant fear?
I mean,
to the point of unable to speak.
Yeah.
Like, even trouble breathing.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. You don't, you just roll with it now.
Doesn't bother me. It's funny.
I just tip my hat to,
So the speaking portion is usually one to three people doing their speech of wherever they are on the education program. So you might have someone do an icebreaker, someone do a speech from sort of the middle level, 3 or 4, and then somebody do one of the long ones, or, you know, someone else do an icebreaker.
Okay, let's do this. You gave us an idea of how long the meeting is. So we've got 1 to 3 speeches. So depending upon the size of the group, in the first 6 months that I go to weekly meetings, that would be 24 weeks. Mm-hmm. How many times might I speak in that first 6 months?
An actual speech? 4 to 6.
So I'll talk like once a month.
You'll give a speech once a month, but you will talk at every meeting.
In front of the group.
Yeah.
Okay. How am I talking in front of the group if I'm not presenting? Do you mean I'm sitting there giving feedback, as you put it?
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't want to give people a misimpression. When you say you'll be talking in front of the group, I don't think very few people who are listening who would say we're sitting around discussing how somebody presented to us, how Wendy presented. Mark shares his verbal feedback with her. I don't think I would describe that as talking in front of the group. Yes, I provided Wendy some feedback, but I think that construction you use, talking in front of the group, people are going, wait, are you asking me to do it? I'm dealing with those people right now, Wendy, who are in fear of public speaking. And I want to be clear about what we're asking to do. You're saying that I would have given 4 to 6 speeches in 6 months. Mm-hmm. So that's once every 4 or 5 weeks. And then other times I'm going to be a part of a group conversation. And do I have to stand up and speak to you out loud in front of everyone? Like I'm giving a talk?
You have to stand up and come to the front of the room and...
Okay. So there's a little bit of, I could see where that would lower anxiety a little bit because I'm not having to give a speech. I'm just having
an evaluation is 2 to 3 minutes. So, you know, it's very short.
These are smart people though. They're building blocks.
Exactly.
Like
yeah. So the speaking portion of the meeting, which is usually the biggest piece of it, 40 minutes or 45 minutes, consists of the prepared speeches, which are the ones in the education program that someone has prepared ahead of time. They're all planned. Nobody's going to make you stand up and do your icebreaker like impromptu. It's planned out. The program's planned out. And then there's the second part of the speaking portion, which is called table topics. And this is impromptu speaking. So basically you have a table topics master. So somebody in the club is assigned this role and their job is to come up with some questions. And they ask a question, they pick on someone in the group, and that person has to give a 1 to 2 minute answer to the question.
And the question. Give me an example of a topic.
So that often, if there's a theme to the meeting, there's they're often around the same. So it might be World Pizza Day, and it's like, what's your favorite pizza? What's the best pizza you ever ate? What don't you like on pizza? You know, easy, open-ended questions.
Sure. Okay, great. Yeah.
And most Toastmasters love this portion. Like, you just grow to really enjoy the fact that you're going to be asked a question and have to come up with an answer straight away.
Even if they're scared of public speaking?
Yeah. It's weird that most people grow to love it. And initially, you probably won't make a minute. People don't. Or in their minute, there's, you know, 20 words.
Right.
And that's absolutely fine. That's how it goes. And you get better at it.
Yeah.
And if it's your first meeting or an early meeting and somebody says, do you want to try table topics? It's absolutely fine to say no and
not do it for a few weeks. There's no pressure here. There's not a hint. There's not a smidgen. There's not a modicum, not a sliver of pressure at any time.
No.
Yeah. What if somebody were scheduled to give a 4-minute talk and they got up in front and they just were paralyzed? They couldn't do it.
Then we would say, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Sit down. We'll have another go next week. What do you need from us? Like, do you want to meet with one of us at Starbucks and chat?
It's just a wonderful thing in the world. And people getting together, helping each other. What will we put on earth to do if not to help one another through? I tip my hat to them. Okay. Sorry. Okay. That's third portion. So we had the speaking portion after the opening, and then we have table topics, and now we have what's third?
Evaluations. So, okay. Everybody who spoke, whether for the prepared speeches or for table topics, will be told how long they spoke for. So for every speech and for table topics and for evaluations, there is a time that you're trying to be within. So for instance, table topics is 1 to 2 minutes. So you have to speak for at least 1 minute, but less than two. And it's just to teach you how to talk and know when what your time limits are to talk for long enough and not too much. There will be someone evaluating how many times you say and any other filler words or crutch words.
But not in the sense of shaming you like you had 10 and you should have had 0. No. Like only great speakers have 0 and you need to get to 0.
Yeah. And if it's your first speech, there's a guy in my club. If you have less than like 15, which, you know, lots of people get to 15. He always says, don't worry about it. My first speech, I had 47. So you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
And he says it every time to every newcomer because it's fine. You just have to know that you're doing it. I say so a lot at the beginning of sentences.
Oh, yes, you do.
And when somebody reminds me, I sometimes remember not to do it. Mm-hmm. And then each prepared speech gets a verbal evaluation. So someone will stand up and give 2 to 3 minutes of, this is what I liked. This is what was good about it. This is how it met the objective. This is what I think you could do better next time. Or this is what I think you could do to challenge yourself next time.
Yes. Good.
And then finally, the general evaluator evaluates the whole meeting. So I said at the beginning, did we start on time? Did we have people to fill the roles? Did we move smoothly between the different sections? Was table topics creative and interesting? Are we about to finish on time?
This is a feedback-rich environment. There is no high performance in the world that isn't feedback-rich. Even our machines and our computers, they're all feedback-rich. And this is an organization that you can join and you can be a member of for $100 a year, like what, $8 a month or $10 a month. And you can become an accomplished, a worldwide successful speaker through Toastmasters. And it's all just basically, for the most part, volunteers.
Yeah. And all of the evaluations are positive and supportive. There's never any, there's never any.
It's like our feedback model. It's about a better future. It's not about shaming you for your mistake. That's the fundamental problem people have with, oh, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings if they care about doing things better and you use a tone which suggests there's better.
Exactly. And if somebody did give you an evaluation like that, somebody would speak to that person and say, I don't think you're being very helpful when you are critical.
Yeah.
At our club, we read the club mission statement at the beginning of every meeting, and it literally says, we provide a supportive and positive learning experience.
Dang right.
Yeah. So don't be scared. So there's a bunch of roles in each meeting, talked about, the Toastmaster, the Topic Master, there's a Word Master, a Timer. And what happens is you rotate through those roles, and it's used as practice talking in front of a group. Because if you're the timer, you have to stand up and read everybody's times. But it's also used as a developmental thing in the sense that you might be given timer as an early role because the only thing you have to do is read the times.
Right.
Whereas, you know, if you're Toastmaster of the day, you're running the meeting and you've got to have thought of a theme and all sorts of things, it's a much bigger role. So you kind of go up a ladder of the easier roles. And once you get some confidence and you understand what's going on in the meeting and so on, then we give you the more complex roles.
Yeah. You've told me before that one of the reasons it fits real well with your work here at Manager Tools is it's based on the adult learning model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is practice, right?
Yeah. Learning by doing.
Yes. And you're learning to speak in front of people. You're learning to run a meeting. You're learning what to do and what not to do. Yeah. And I always say, Toastmasters is where we come to practice. It's absolutely fine to screw up.
And it's a safe space. Yeah. And it doesn't have ramifications for your family's income.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no consequence. Yeah. I mean, and here's what, you know, I would argue, guys, this is great. And then somebody out there is thinking, that's what we should have at work. But guys, you can't have that at work because in a system, the organization needs to feed itself. And it can't be where everybody screws up all the time, but magically money comes over the transom. It doesn't work that way. That's why Toastmasters was invented, to help us with this in a safe space. Okay, so you've told us what happens. How do the meetings feel?
Every meeting is different in style. So that structure is the same whichever meeting you go to, but each one is kind of subtly different. So the one that I'm a member of is right close to USAA that has a lot of international employees. And so our club happens to have a whole bunch of nationalities. It's really international and it's fun. There's other clubs where they're super formal and very big on the rules and we do it exactly this way. And some people enjoy that. There's other places. There's a club in San Antonio called Laughing Matters, and their catch line is, where laughing really matters. And they say it. If you're in a group of Toastmasters in San Antonio and someone says laughing matters, somebody else says, where laughing really matters. They just meet to have fun. And it's a Toastmasters meeting like this, but it's all fun. Yeah. So everyone is different. And if you go to a Toastmasters club and you're just a visitor, people will tell you, go to a few of them, find out which one suits you best. Because each one is kind of different and there's a right one for you.
And they're not going to tell you no. So this is interviewing in reverse, right? You get to go to four or five companies and choose which one. That's cool.
Exactly.
Okay, folks, we're going to stop it there. We've got more questions to answer. The rest of the questions will be shorter, but the answers will be shorter because we've covered some of those topics, but we've already gone for more than 30 minutes, and I get hate mail if we go much longer than 45. And I know there are those of you who would write and tell me that I have to figure out how to do everything in 20 minutes, and all I'll tell you is start your own podcast and you do it, and I'll listen to you. We will see you next week with part 2 of Toastmasters for Presentation Skills. See you then.